You're listening to TPN Weekly.
TPN Weekly features the talented podcasters of the Tech Podcast Network.
Each week you get a new host, a new topic, in a whole new way. So get ready for TPN Weekly.
Welcome to episode number 100 of the TPN Weekly podcast. It's Monday, June the 17th, 2013. And of course, being the 100th episode of the weekly podcast here at TPN, it is a very special night tonight. The TPN podcast was originally, the very first one started on April 20th, 2009. So here we are. Just over 4 years later. The first episode was hosted by Todd Cochran himself from the Geek News Central. And here we are. We're actually hosts from Category 5 Technology TV. Our website is category5.tv. And it's our pleasure, our honor to be here hosting the TPN weekly podcast tonight. Kind of, you know, and it's kind of exciting for us too, because, you know, as TPN Weekly Podcast celebrates its 100th episode, we are actually celebrating our 300th episode at Category 5 TV. We've been around a little while, so we're actually doing that tomorrow night. And so we hope you can join us at category5.tv. Just to quickly introduce ourselves, my name is Robbie Ferguson.
My name is Eric Kidd.
I'm Rachel Hsu.
Do it twice. Put the microphone up to my face and say it again.
And I'm Crystal Wells. Just once.
Just once.
That's
nice
all
to have.
We can take.
Yeah, nice to have some of the team here with me tonight. And of course, just to kind of let you know what's coming up tonight, we are going to be just looking at some interesting tech related news stories that are going on in the world today. For starters, apparently, robots can be controlled by thought. This is a true thing, and we're going to be talking all about it tonight.
I'm trying it, though, and you're not moving.
Stop.
I can't,
ow!
I can't even control myself with my thoughts.
What else is there?
Well, the next topic we're going to talk about is a school code-breaking contest, and it's set to select the cybersecurity talent of tomorrow.
Interesting.
Ooh.
Yeah.
And we'll be talking about the new PlayStation 4, which will be around $100 cheaper than the Xbox One.
Oh.
And last but not least, Honda is building a lawnmower that moves at a top speed of 210 kilometers per hour.
Excuse me?
I don't want to be. That seems fraught with peril.
Danger, Will Robinson. Boy, oh boy, look
I
out.
I have a backyard that's about 12 feet by 10 feet.
You'd be done. Like,
you're done.
You can do the neighbor's
oh my gosh, home. Eric Kidd is at it again. The neighbors are scared. Get the kids inside. For this goodness sake, get the cat in the house.
This won't hurt, did it? Try to be serious, please.
All right.
This is a tech.
Let's be serious.
Right. Serious faces, people.
Seriously. Robots are a step closer to reading our thoughts, thanks to researchers at the University of Minnesota. Biomedical engineers at the university's College of Science and Engineering have developed a non-invasive system. It's like it kind of looks like a cool little swim cap with a bunch of diodes coming off of it. It actually has 64 electrodes, and it tracks the electrical activity of the person who's using it. It just taps right into their brain flow. Using that, the brain signals can be sent to a computer, and they're translated and sent over Wi-Fi to some kind of a robotic instrument. They're actually using it with a four-blade flying kind of robotic helicopter thing. And they can control it with their mind. So, for example, when a research subject was asked to think about making a fist with their right hand, the robot would simply move to the right. The subject didn't have to actually make a fist. They just had to think about it. So, literally, just by using their thoughts, they were able to control this robot. They could actually get good enough, just in their little tests, to maneuver this flying robot with their thoughts through hanging rings in the gymnasium. They could actually fly it right through them. And the lead researcher, Bin Hay, is a biomedical engineering professor. He said that the technology has the potential to be used to create thought-controlled wheelchairs.
Very cool.
Also, think about this, artificial limbs that can be controlled just by thinking, hey, if I make a fist with my right hand, what if I had a
what
robotic
about an Iron Man suit instead of a wheelchair?
An Iron Man suit? Now that's interesting. Let's talk about that.
You know, now what if you're thinking, Oh, man, I'd like to smack that guy. But you really don't want to do it.
I think that a lot with you, Eric. So watch out.
A robot here like...
I would have kept that inside, but my new biomechanical arm...
Fraught with peril.
I wonder, though, and the lead researcher makes a point that people who are paralyzed or have neurodegenerative disease could actually use this technology. Non-invasive is what kind of interests me, is the fact that it can be done without having to install any kind of microchips in the person's brain or anything like that.
Somebody in the later stages of ALS or something where they're...
Yeah.
Of all their musculature.
Absolutely. Somebody even as simple as, you know, had an accident and has lost their limbs.
So are these like walking robots, like iRobot type? You just sit there and send mind vibes and it goes and walks around?
Yeah.
And
yeah, I think it is. It's actually Avatar.
I'm thinking, I want coffee. I want coffee.
And it brings you a coffee. All of a sudden, it just materializes like a...
What if it just, like, goes outside and robs someone? You want something and it's like, oh, don't have it here.
We'll
have
it.
Yes.
And holds up
it
a
just
bank.
Goes and holds up a bank. That'd be amazing.
I had nothing to do with it.
Just not,
I just was wearing the cap. Wait, it's the guy out in the car with that thing with all the diodes coming off of it. He's holding his right fist. What else could you use this thing for? I mean, I'm looking, eyeing these cupcakes. I think.
Spoon feed you cupcakes. Yeah.
Just think about it. There you go.
Sound effects.
So is that topic, if we expired that topic,
that
I mean, that's, what do you guys think? Pop us an email, live at category5.tv. And Eric's making a good old mess right here in the studio. Here you go, buddy. Have a napkin. We'll get him his nappy.
Subtle way to open.
We need to get this guy a robotic arm that can be controlled by his thoughts.
Mm-hmm. You just have to wear one of those really cool
would be
caps.
Pretty dangerous.
That's all.
Again, I think this idea is fraught with peril.
Yeah, if this is any indication. Do you need an IQ test in order to be able to do this originally?
You have to have a brain for it to read.
Sorry, Eric.
So you know what I got on my university entrance exam? Guinness. Sorry, there's no good coming of this conversation. Conversation.
All right. Hey, tell us all about what else have we got here, Eric?
You know what? We're going to be talking about schools.
Well, let's talk about it.
Schools are being urged to sign up for a code-breaking competition aimed at developing the next generation of cybersecurity experts. Teenagers from 14 to 16 will pit their wits against each other to break secret codes to uncover hidden messages and then write their own. Schools will score points for coming up with the toughest codes and then have a virtual contest attempting to crack those of other schools. It's an extension of what is known as the Cybersecurity Challenge, which is in its fourth year and was designed to find and encourage people to work in computer security, protecting people and organizations from hackers and computer viruses.
I've seen... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say good luck for teachers trying to figure out what the notes say that are being passed back and forth.
Yeah, right. You have to
all
be a code breaker.
Code.
Yeah, right. And they're teaching the kids to do this now. I think about these apps that you see on your mobile devices, and I've seen people are posting them on Facebook and stuff because maybe they're stuck on one of their code breakers, and it's got some kind of code, and you've got to hack the code in order to play the game.
Yeah. Be good exercise. Good
but what, yeah, it's a mental exercise. But do you think that app developers could potentially be doing what these guys are doing, which is to actually be kind of watching who is hacking the codes and keeping track so that if you actually beat the game and become like the master
code
breaker.
We'd like to offer
breaker,
you a position yeah, here
hey,
with our company.
We're not a game company. We're the FBI.
And you've been put on a watch list.
We're either going to hire you or arrest you so because you're dangerous. So, you know, what do you think that could be a possibility?
It's possible.
Yeah. Kind of scary. A little ominous that just the tactic of getting kids to hack in order
yeah,
to find...
But- Really? What kind of codes do you think the majority will come up with? Like the most complex.
These days, yeah.
Pig Latin or
okay,
something,
so
everything's written.
We have a new language, and it has 26 characters, but they're all upside down. Crack
the
this.
Where you take every letter and turn it into a number. That was...
Aye, on de, one.
Uh-oh.
I don't think you have to worry about...
Hack the code. Come on, Eric. Come on. Aye, on de, one. Does that sound Klingon to you? Bijakla ekimev.
I think I hear my mommy calling me.
Krista, what do you think?
I don't know. I don't think much. I wasn't really listening when I was talking.
That seems to be the story of my life.
I don't know. I think it could be a good thing or a bad thing. I mean, and technology is where the world's going right now, so it might be a good thing to start teaching them how to do this sort of stuff from the get-go.
But yeah, what do you need to break code?
Well, like, I mean, it gets your mind in that
the
kind
basic
of
things
frame.
You need in school, yeah. But you need to learn code breaking.
Well,
that's true.
Like,
I
don't teach you grammar, but you'll know how to break FBI code.
Yeah,
but
you
I think it's
spell.
Kind of like a puzzle kind of thing. It gets your mind working in that kind
sure.
of a set.
Give so everyone a Rubik's Cube.
Well, last week.
I think they teach grammar, Rachel. I just think you didn't pay attention. Sorry.
It's your didn't pay attention. Last week, when I was pondering the Pythagorean theorem and applying it to my life, I realized that there really wasn't a lot in school that was applicable.
Have you never used the Pythagorean theorem?
I
did last week.
I use it all the time.
I used it to determine that school was pointless.
I used it to get here.
Oh, my. Of course, I've never seen you
certain
with
aspects.
A hammer and a saw. And a,
oh, that's true. That's
and
true.
Trying to work out a
no, but what I mean is
angle on anything.
Where I'm going with this is I think that they're smart to recognize that these kids have the skill already within themselves. So they're not teaching kids.
It's like the force.
You. Yeah, the force. Yeah, no, but they're not teaching the kids how to crack code or write code.
Lightsaber.
They're instead saying, okay, here's the code. Now crack that code.
I mean, the average 14-year-old, when they get the new video game, they're a couple of days into it when they figured out all kinds of secrets that aren't documented.
Yeah, and it's codes and... Yeah.
I think the majority will just give up after 5 minutes, like, take a glance at it. I don't know, throw it away.
Like you taking the little stickers off the Rubik's Cube and putting them back? Yeah.
Did you do that, Eric?
Never.
But it's a generation of... I'm thinking a generation of self-taught individuals who have grown up with computer technology and the need to excel at understanding that technology. There's two different kinds of sides of the coin. There's the people who just learn in order to survive in a technological world. So the people who know how to use Office to do word processing and spreadsheets. And then there's the people who actually understand the inner workings of it. And, you know, the computer scientist mind who wants to get to a higher level of understanding of the way that a computer operates or the way that that thinking, the programmatic mind, thinks.
Yeah, I mean, there's varying levels of that from the person using it to write their documents to the guy actually writing programs. That's next level. But the actual guy writing the programs to do your word processing, that's a whole different...
Well, and then what about the guy who's writing the exploits to compromise that application? And then you've got the higher level of the protection
Speaking
agencies
of
that,
you know,
are writing.
I just do not believe some of these encryption software guys haven't built in some back doors here and there.
Sure. Oh, yeah. But that aside, you know, you've got these kids that are growing up and they either have that mind or they don't. So do you have, you know, if you have that mind, they're going to weed that out. They're going to determine, okay, well, 50% or whatever percent of the people are going to be code breakers, and maybe it's a very low percentage. Who
right.
knows?
For many folks, everything, they take it at face value, and then others are a little more inquisitive or a little more cynical.
Deep.
Yeah, you guys lost me at encryption. I was thinking about Pantone colors the whole time.
All right, so Sony is set to sell the PlayStation 4 for a cheaper price than Microsoft's rival Xbox One. The Japanese firm announced at the E3 trade show that its machine would be sold for £349 in the UK, $399 in the US, and 399 euros across Europe. It added that it would not impose restrictions on secondhand games. Sony also unveiled what its box would look like, having previously kept the design under wraps at its February PS4 press conference. For many in the audience at the Los Angeles event, the scale of the price difference came as the biggest shock. Earlier in the day, Microsoft had revealed in its new console would cost £429 in the UK, £499 in the US, and €499. Stephen Totilo, editor-in-chief of the new gaming news site Kotaku, said...
I would say Kotaku.
Kotaku.
Eric, what do you think?
I like Rachel's version of it
Kotaku.
Better.
Kotaku.
Says, like a fun chicken.
Let's just fight about the pronunciation.
Kotaku.
What did he say?
Kotaku.
Well, let me get to it. Microsoft is going to need to look again at its price or explain why its offer is better value, such as the inclusion of its Kinect sensor.
Hmm.
For the Sky Gene.
I think it's awesome for Sony that they happen to make their announcement just after Microsoft. That Microsoft comes
on and
says...
They probably did a lot of scrambling.
How did they pull that off? That's awesome. Like, way to market. Because Microsoft, on one hand, with the Xbox One, is saying that you're not going to be able to... I'm not going to be able to say, hey, Eric, would you like to borrow this game that I bought and play it on your Xbox One? No, you can't do that. Krista, I'd like to sell you this game for less than I paid for it because I don't play it anymore. Well, I can do that, but if I do, then the game gets locked so that you can no longer sell it. And there's all these... copy protection through the roof. And, you know, handcuffs put on you as a gamer, being able to sell your game. So now Sony coming out and saying, well, our PlayStation 4, by the way, $100 cheaper, and we're not going to restrict your ability to sell those games or put used games on your console. I wonder what would happen for the rental companies. If you can't sell or use used games on an Xbox One, do they have special games that that get around that? Or
some kind of a...
No rentals for you.
No rentals.
Yeah. What we happens? Don't know. I'm just postulating.
It's just a theory. But what would happen? Because you walk into a rental store and people still do that, right? We've got a
some
great...
people.
They do.
We've got a great video store here in town, Bandito Video in Barrie, Ontario. And it's really the only one that's left. But you go in, there's movies and there's... Everything's mostly Blu-ray and some DVD now, but and there's games.
No VHS?
No VHS. They closed down the VHS end of things.
Who?
VHS.
No, they actually closed down half of the store and sold off all the VHS movies or dumped them.
For what? Scrap?
Anyway,
yeah,
though, you can
much.
Go on Groupon and get these things for a lot cheaper.
Really?
I got an Xbox and Kinect for under $200 on Groupon.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the newest and latest and greatest, right? It's not an Xbox One or a PS4. Yeah, well, I got a Wii for $99, and not a Wii Mini.
You got a Wii for $99.
I did, and it's fantastic. I use it for Netflix.
That's not a very good deal.
For a Wii with Wi-Fi internet, and it came with Mario. I think that's a great deal.
Oh, also it came with Mario.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
it's
all the
me, Mario.
Yeah. They're like, actually Mario?
I don't even know about
no,
this.
No, like not him, but the game.
Aww. He comes and has
didn't
pizza
come
with
the
you?
Real Mario.
Yeah, he makes the pizza. Yeah.
Yeah, I got the Kinect sensor, and my living room is too small, so you have to stand
yeah, you
on the
have
couch.
To have a big, you have
you
to
want.
Stand on the couch.
So I now.
You just trained.
People
you just no, trained think, everybody, do not jump on the couch.
So I got the Groupon deal. And now I have to buy a bigger house to use it.
Wow,
so,
did you ever
great
save
deal.
Money?
Wow, I saved $100 on my Xbox, but I had to spend $100,000 to make room for it.
It's a fair trade.
Yeah, you know, like you got to look at the big picture here, Rachel.
It's like today, if you're wondering why my hair is purple, I pulled into the hairdresser and it said, free haircut. And in small letters, and I didn't notice it soon enough, with color. Purchase of color. Yeah.
Oh, dear. So what would you do in a case like this? I mean, the PS4 comes out. It's $100 cheaper than the Xbox One. It doesn't have the Kinect sensor, but it's a PS4. It's not going to restrict you from using loaner games or
used
games.
Well, why wouldn't you? Why would you go the other route? in a situation
like this. Is Microsoft product's better?
Do you think it is?
I don't know. I'm
just wondering. What do you mean you can't sell an Xbox game?
Xbox One.
Oh, I was going to say,
the new Xbox system from Microsoft.
Xbox.
The new gaming console from Microsoft, which was announced, is $100 more than the PS4, and they will restrict your ability to use used games. So you can't sell your games.
How long do you think it's going to take the cyber security code breakers to figure that out?
Right, but then in order to be a part of that, you've got to...
You've got to mod your
device or do something else that a firmware update is going to detect and say, hey, you're using a modded device and now we're not going to let you continue or some other crazy thing. Yeah, who knows? I mean, all speculation, right? But time for a PS4.
I think so.
It's like buying a Blu-ray player.
You have me at $100
cheaper. Getting all the gaming. Yeah, I think so.
I want a lawnmower.
Really? What kind of lawnmower would
really
you like, Eric?
Fast one.
I mean, okay, if you got 5 acres or something, but still.
But even then, can you imagine someone whipping back imagine? And down their 5 acres?
Hey, you know the groundhog we had in the back? Well, guess what?
That's that smear that goes about a mile.
And like, there's
enough accidents with people.
I'm thinking they've just put, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
A V6 in a little tiny lawnmower. Okay. Yeah.
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Krista.
Would you like to hear about
let's
it?
Let's hear what we're talking about here.
I'll talk about it first, and then, you know, you can... Whatever. So,
I'm scared.
So there's Honda engineers, and they are racing to build the world's fastest lawnmower after being put up to the task by Top Gear magazine. They are targeting a speed of 130 miles per hour or 210 kilometers per hour. That would easily be the current record of 96.5 miles per hour claimed by the fuel additive firm Gold Eagle. A first look at the machine showing flames coming out of his exhaust has been posted online.
Set your lawn on fire at the same time that you don't have to mow.
Don't use these in late July or August.
It's a fire ban. I can't mow my lawn right now. The British Lawnmower Racing Association said Top Gear's mower would not be able to compete in July's World Championships because of strict limits on the number of modifications allowed on the motors and bodies of the lawnmower.
Okay, that's infuriating.
Honda said it had simply taken on the project to promote its sporty credentials.
Okay.
I don't know. Flames coming out of the exhaust. That's kind of cool.
Are we going to see these going down the highway?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, I'd jump on mine and go to Max.
You know, the city of Barry Parks and Rec folks are going to buy a few of these.
Let's get her done, boys. Okay, so, first of all, they do this to show you that they're a sporty company.
Yeah. With a lawnmower.
With a lawnmower. I mean, anytime.
That means a sporty
lawnmower. Ferrari?
Lawnmower.
I'm sorry. Ferrari, how fast do your lawnmowers go?
I'm sorry,
I don't know
we
about
don't
you, Rachel,
do lawnmowers.
But
you
got
don't
hit
do
on
lawnmowers?
By a lot of
well,
guys riding lawnmowers.
This is
they're sporty.
Yeah, but did it shoot flames out of its back end?
No, totally not.
Oh, see?
So no, he but was, I had some wings. No.
Okay, so Eric, there is actually an association called the British Lawnmower Racing Association.
Oh.
So I work for Honda, and I'm coming into you, and I've got a machine here. I've got this machine that does 210 kilometers per hour.
That's kilometers, I prefer.
I'll say kilometers. Thank you very much, sir.
Would you just
say, you're British. I'm Canadian.
Would you say kilogram?
Hey?
Would you say kilogram? Might say kilogram.
I do.
I can't even follow what you're saying there.
Kilogram.
Kilogram.
It's okay.
Kilometer.
Put down the beer.
Kilometer.
Where's that mental robot
measure.
To slap yeah. when you need it?
No, but seriously, okay, so I'm coming to you with my 210 kilometer per hour basically go-kart.
Well, think of it on
lawnmower.
The highway.
Is it a ride on lawnmower? Is one of those
it's one of those ride on.
Yeah, right. You push behind it.
And hold on. Make sure you've got your cape on.
Behind it? Yeah.
I don't know. I can imagine a bunch of idiots getting their hands on one of these. Like, I was at the hospital once, and the doctor said he had just dealt with someone who'd lost a digit trying to cut his
digit?
Hedge.
Does a head count as a digit?
That story.
A finger. Yeah, he was trying to cut his hedge with his lawnmower.
Okay, that's
so
wise.
Imagine doing that with a 200 kilometer.
Well, get down a lot faster.
Lawnmower.
Get done
pretty
real
bad.
Quick.
I'm assuming this is a ride-on mower.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Unless you can jog 10 kilometers an hour.
We're not going to use the ride-on mower to do our hedge.
Well, if you could do some really true enough, tricks
it out. But would you
like,
think
you know,
that
those stunt drivers that go sideways, you just tip it on
exactly
two wheels and do your hedge?
Would you typically think though, Eric, that you know you would use a ride on lawnmower
to
race?
See if they want us to do a promo for it.
Yeah, that'd be a great idea.
Are you going to test it?
The whole promo's like, what? Why are they doing this? I mean, when you think about, you know, guys sitting around thinking, you know, here's a great idea. Let's make a lawnmower that travels at faster than my car at its top speed.
Yeah.
That sounds smart.
Does it come with a helmet?
I'd drive it. Like all those motorcyclists.
Will these modifications be accepted by the British Lawnmower Racing Association? That's what I want to know. I mean, before we even start tackling
this.
Yeah,
you know, because they're a pretty serious body, the Lawnmower Racing Association.
Yeah, I'll say.
The British Lawnmower Racing
Association. They even
say
kilometer.
I mean, well,
it's crazy. Yes.
So how much does it weigh? How many stone?
What would you do with this thing other than race
around?
You
just shine it up real good and leave me your driveway.
That's I got a big
it's like,
sound
it's like really one of those showpieces. Like,
yeah.
No. I don't think it's really for cutting grass.
You don't think so?
It's for showing off.
I think that if the blade were actually spinning, if the blade were actually spinning and you're traveling at 210 kilometers an hour, there's something in the centrifugal force that taps into
sends you back in time.
It actually causes a rift in the space-time continuum. Somehow opens up a vortex.
Now, would you say gigawatts or gigawatts?
Oh my goodness, Eric. I'm just saying. Just does not sound natural.
If it were Honda, I'd say
vroom,
vroom.
Well, we could try it. Yes. Mixing now. That's
yes, I know.
Yeah.
Inappropriate.
That was inappropriate.
I do appreciate you correcting him, though.
It
means a lot. Yeah.
I did point out that it wasn't their slogan.
You did?
I did.
Yeah.
Don't faces.
What do y'all think? Email us live at category5.tv. Any of the stories that we've mentioned tonight. And, of course, our 300th episode happens tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Eastern time. And you can catch that at category5.tv.
That's Greenwich minus 5.
Is it minus 4? He's thinking about it.
I'm pretty sure it's minus 5.
I don't know. It depends on when the... Just say Eastern time.
Eastern time.
You know what? Just go on to Google and just say, what time is it in Toronto?
Mr.
And
Wolf.
You'll know. Or go to our website, category5.tv.
I think it's the same time in Tijuana.
You guys make it so difficult. Category5.tv, it actually has a countdown. So you'll see that it's like 12 hours
check out the website.
And if you missed it, then no problem. You can go back to the website and watch it on demand. Kind of cool. See the history of Category 5. But this is
Robot
TPN Weekly. Oh, I'm going to think about raising my right fist. Oh, this is TPN Weekly, episode 100. Wonderful to be here tonight. We are Category 5 Technology TV. My name is Robbie Ferguson.
I'm Eric Kidd.
Rachel Hsu.
I'm Krista Wells.
Thank you guys for being here. And everybody listening at home, thanks for being here with us tonight. And have a fantastic week. Next week, they're going to be talking all about all the big announcements from Apple.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That's exciting.
And there are some big ones, and I don't even want to touch on them because they're going to be
core ideas.
Krista's like, oh, we should have talked about the Apple announcements. iOS 7.
I don't know who's doing it next week, but I'm joking.
iOS 7, bring it on. No, thank you.
Aw, party pooper.
We'll stick with Android.
Debbie Downer.
Hey, just saying, if I want it awesome,
you
I'd
get
go
a
with
Mac.
Android. Oh.
Mac, that's all.
Was that inappropriate? Was that across the line? Did I?
This show is G-rated, family safe, so we're going to stop this argument right now.
Because
Krista
win.
Is in love with her Mac. We'll find out all about it on TPN Weekly next week. For all you
maybe
Mac
in
lovers.
The scandal sheets next week, too.
Might be.
Should watch for paparazzi when I leave today.
Artiste, Krista Wells.
That's all the time that we have, folks. Have a great week. Talk to you later. Good night.
Good night, kids.
I want to say ciao. Ciao.
There you go.